Oh, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is good. And we thank you that you tell us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Oh, Lord, would you cause faith to arise in our hearts this morning as we continue our worship around your word, Lord. Cause that faith to arise within us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where's my Bible? That would be helpful, wouldn't it? Well, this morning we're continuing the second in the series of women in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at the Shunammite woman. And I've entitled my sermon, "With God, All Things Are Possible." Indeed. So if you turn in your Bibles to Kings chapter 4, and in the blue Bibles, if you're following it in the blue Bibles, I think it's page 261. I'm going to break it down into portions because this is such a powerful story and I want us to get the full flavour of it. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make him a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant, Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she came, stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." This is very familiar to last week's woman of the Bible, isn't it? "No, my Lord," she objected. "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. So let's look at the background of these verses a little bit to pick up the story. Just in case you're not aware of who Elisha was, he was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, and he lived in the top north of Israel around the area of Mount Carmel. And he would regularly pass through Shunem as he travelled back and forth to the capital city then of the northern kingdom, which was Samaria. So he was well known. He was a well-known prophet and man of God that travelled back and forth through Shunem. And we could think of this woman, we don't know her name, all we know is that she was a well-to-do woman. It could have been that she thought, well, you know, it would be a good influence to the neighbours if we had this holy man of God staying under our roof. That could have been her thoughts, but I don't think it was. I think she was a woman who had a heart to bless. She wanted to bless this man of God. And she did it from that kind of generous heart of blessing. And no way was she expecting anything in return. So to summarise this first bit that we've just read, Gehazi identifies the place of lack in the woman's life. Elisha prophesies, and God fulfills the prophetic word. And the woman was blessed beyond her wildest dreams. So far, so good. Let's read on. picking up at verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. "My head, my head," he said to his father. His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "It's all right," she said. Say, "It's all right."
All right.
"It's all right." She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her. Ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. Say, "Everything is all right." "Everything is all right. The child is dead." How can she say everything is all right? Let's just take this in and try and digest the scene. There's no wailing. There's no tears. Can you just imagine it? You know, your heart would be broken. We would be wanting to scream out. And if you see Eastern women on the telly in the news, they know how to wail. They know how to mourn. None of that with this woman. She takes the child. She lays him on the prophet's bed. There was no sign of mourning. And as far as we know, there was no plans for a funeral anytime soon. Something had happened to this woman. You see, the birth of the child through that prophetic word caused faith to arise. It caused her to have faith to believe in the power of God to work miracles.
Yes.
And that's where she was fixing her gaze, and she wasn't moving from that. The child goes on the prophet's bed. If God did this, if he gave me this child, he can do this. She was totally focused. She wasn't preparing for a funeral. She was preparing for a resurrection.
Yeah.
And there might be some of you here this morning and you think there's some things in your life that's pretty dead. But I'll tell you now, you know, God is the God of resurrection.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, amen?
And then, you know, think about, it just blows my mind, actually, this story. Think about the calm and respectful way she goes to her husband. As calm as a cucumber. The child's dead upstairs. And she goes to her husband, "You know, could I have a servant and a donkey to go and see the man of God?" And it was customary on such festivals as new moons and Sabbaths for people to go and see the prophet, to go and see the man of God. But this was just an ordinary day. This was a regular day, and her husband's confused. You know, why? And she doesn't elaborate. She doesn't buy into the conversation. "It's all right. It's all right," she says. Oh, there's so much that we can learn from this woman. This woman knew how to zip her mouth. She knew how to stay in the positive zone. I just love her. So we continue to read on. In verse 27, "Then she reached the man of God at the mountain. She took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why.' 'Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?' she said. 'Didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes.' Elisha said to Gehazi, 'Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff upon the boy's face.' But the child's mother said, 'As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you.' So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face. But there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on the couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and then opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came in, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. Miracle number 2. This woman is amazing, and I love her story. She really had an attitude. If God did it then, he can do it now. And that's not the end of her story, of the Shunammite. I won't encourage you to turn now, but when you're at home, turn your Bibles to chapter 8. Because after this period, Elisha told her that there was going to be a famine for 7 years in the land. And I'm just going to read this little passage because it's so good. The word of God is so good and it builds our faith. Hallelujah. Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Go away with your family and stay for a while wherever you can, because the Lord has decreed a famine in the land that will last 7 years. The woman proceeded to do just as the man of God said. She and her family went away and stayed in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, she came back from the land of the Philistines and went to the king to beg for her house and land. Notice now the king had got her land. She now had need to see the king. The king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, "Tell me about the great things that Elisha has done." And just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to beg the king for her house and land. Gehazi said, "This is the woman, my lord, the king. This is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she told him the story. And then he signed an official to her and said to the official, "Give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left until now." God is the God of blessing and the God of restoration. This woman, I just love her story. I love her attitude.
Yeah.
And that, you know, she was in dire situation after dire situation, but God turned it to blessing because she would not let go of who had the answers. She knew that the man of God had the answers. This morning, do you know who has the answers? I know who has the answers. There's only Jesus. There's only Father God who has all the answers to everything. And I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I am not going to let go of him. And I know that he'll never let go of me.
Yeah.
And the same is for you. Hang on for all you're worth. Do not let go of God.
Yeah.
And a personal testimony, how this story really came alive to me. As some of you know, and thank you for your prayers, because she was praying for me earlier in the year. I wasn't at all well and suffering some health issues. And, you know, we can get a bit down. And I was feeling a bit down and, you know. And this was my morning reading one morning. And as I read it, you know, faith began to arise in me. I was just thinking about the problem. I was thinking about my body. This woman is saying, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And you know, faith arose in me to believe that it would be all right. It was all right, and it is all right. And I believe this morning that, God wants faith to arise in people. There's things going on in your life, and you're looking at the problem like I was looking at my health, thinking, what, you know? But God wants faith to arise in you. He has got an answer to your problems. You don't need to think about the problem. You need to think about the answer. Who's got the answer? That's where you keep your eyes fixed. My eyes are fixed on Jesus. And, you know, God so makes me laugh because he catches me out. I love power walking in the out in the open. You know, that's, you know, I'm never still, am I? You all know that. But I just love power walking, getting out there. And recently, I just felt God nudging me to incorporate a bit of running in it. And no comments from Mira and Jenny. I couldn't believe it. I haven't run in over 30 years. And I felt God saying, run a bit. Come on, you can still do it. So I've been power walking, doing a bit of running as well. And I was, actually, I was meeting Pauline in Priory Park, and I was enjoying a run on my way to meet her. And God speaks to me, and he says, do you remember that bad knee you had last year? And I was like, oh, yes, I do, Lord. He said, do you remember what you was declaring over your knee? And I was like, oh, my goodness, I do. And, you know, I had this gammy knee. I don't know what was up with it, but it was painful, and I couldn't squat, and I couldn't bend, and it was a pain. And I just kept declaring, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will rise as wings of eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I just had a praise party right there in Priory Marina. Praise God. There is power in the word of God. We need to hear what God's saying to us. And, you know, we need to proclaim the word of God over ourselves and over others. So what can we draw from this? Well, you know what? I'm going to bring things in, actually, because I want to leave time for ministry. I believe that God really wants to minister to people this morning. And I'm going to bring things in by giving you three B words that can be life-changing. And they're not Britain, and they're not Brexit, and they're not Boris. God is beyond all that. You know, I just said about how I declared the word of God over myself. And truthfully, I never expected that one day I would be physically running again. God, he blows your mind. He's just amazing. Yeah. But that's the word of God, you know. Elijah brought the word of God. God gives us his word. When we've got a Bible in our hands, we carry the word of God wherever we are. But we can't just depend on this. We need to put this in our heart so that it's there, so that it's living. Don't just come to church once a week and read your Bible. Read it every day. Yeah. Drink it in. Slurp it up. Yeah. Like I did when I wasn't well. And, you know, God can bring life from his word that brings restoration, that raises us up. Yeah. Our faith levels come up. And, you know, God is constantly showing me that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do in us as church family. He wants us to raise our faith levels, to believe for the impossible and see what God does. He is faithful. And, you know, just declare God's word over others, over yourself. You know, there's that thing where the woman zipped her mouth. God is always on my case about that. It matters what we say, folks. We talk rubbish over ourselves sometimes, don't we? You know, we need to speak the word of God. Yeah. We are who God says we are. Amen. And others need to know that. So the first word is Bible. Get into the Bible. It's life-changing. Yeah. and resurrecting. The second B is blessing. This woman was a blessing carrier. She had a heart to bless. Now, I wonder how often you ask God, who would you have me bless today? You know, every day, it's part of my prayers, every day I'm saying, Lord, who would you have me bless today? Who would you have me encourage today? The world's in a mess out there. And, you know, we talked about Brexit, and we talked about Boris, you know, mentioned those names. But I'm telling you, the world out there needs hope. And let me say, doesn't matter where you're coming from, what your views are this morning, park your views, get into the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, and see what happens. What happens to you, what happens to your neighbours, and what happens to this nation. The Word of God is the only answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the only answer.
Yeah.
So be a blessing carrier, church. Let's all be blessing carriers. Let's look at how we can bless one another, bless the people out there, and bless our nation.
Yes.
So that's the third B, Bible blessing. And then the third one is believe.
Mm.
This woman had faith to believe for the impossible.
Yeah.
She zipped her mouth. She had faith to believe for the impossible. And we all need that. You know, God's word says that faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Yeah.
And he wants to increase our faith. He wants our faith levels to rise. What seems impossible is possible with God.
Yeah.
If he did that, then he can do this. Continually, that's God's heart. If he can do that, then he can do this. God is God. And think about this for a verse of scripture. I don't know, I'm not going to presume that everybody here this morning knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. I want to read this scripture to you and get this in your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever
believes
in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, let me tell you that God loves you that much, that he gave his Son to sacrifice his life on a cross, that you could have life eternal. That is mind-blowing, but it's fact. And there's many of us here that can testify it. God is, he changes our lives totally, radically. And as we move now to a time of ministry, I have a testimony to share with you. Do you remember last week we encouraged you to Google and look up the story behind the song of We'll Raise a Hallelujah? You remember that? And we testified how, as a discipleship group, we had been singing that song over a baby. And then corporately, as a whole church, last Sunday, we sang that song again over that baby. We'll raise a hallelujah. Could you just put up? This is the first photograph that came through to me when there was requesting prayer. It was in the intensive care unit at Luton and Dunstable Hospital. Last Sunday afternoon, when I got home, another photograph came through. This was last Sunday afternoon. Something happened last Sunday morning that this baby was so much improved, he was allowed to be transferred back to Bedford Hospital. And in the middle of the week, he was allowed home. Hallelujah! Come on, give God a clap. God is good. God is good, always. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of miracles. And he just wants us to press in. Press into him. This woman had faith to believe in the power of God to perform miracles. My question is, do we have that faith? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're going to have faith arise. We want faith to arise. We're going to press in. Not because there's anything special about Broman Baptist. Not that there's anything special about us at all. But my goodness, there's everything about Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything about Jesus.
Yeah.
We must not look at the problems. We must look at the answers. And Justin, if you'd like to come up and start to play something, I want us now just to be quiet before God and to start to believe God for those things that are in your life that you feel are impossible. And we're going to believe God for some healing. Is Denny here, by the way, this morning? She isn't, is she? She's... Where is she? Right. Okay. You know, the thing is, how God builds our faith is through stories. Like, we knew the story of this child. We knew that God had worked through that song. So we were putting our faith in Jesus. You know, what you did for that baby in America, you can do for this baby in Luton and Dunstable Hospital. And whatever it is, you know, faith rises. And, you know, a few months ago, we was praying for Soraya. Do you remember? Little Soraya, she had that feeding tube. And we was believing God for answer to prayer there, that God would work a miracle and that child would be able to come off the feeding tube. And praise God, that happened. God healed her. And this morning, Emma is believing for an answer to prayer for Sarah. There's been something going on and they're not sure whether she's got a thyroid problem. She's got to go for tests in October. And Emma, we're going to stand with Emma, believing for a miracle this morning, believing that test will come back negative. And Denny, if you're here, or Zoe, will you come now and pray over Emma, please? Impart faith, what God's done for you, he can do for Sarah. And also, Emma's got a bad foot. She needs a miracle of healing in her foot. If you've got faith in God this morning to heal Emma's foot, move over to Emma. Now, what are your needs? What are your needs? Just stay in that place with God right now. Holy Spirit, will you come by your power? Lord, I thank you that we can wear masks. I thank you that we can hide what's going on in our lives from each other, but we can never hide them from you. You know everything. There's nothing that's hidden from you. And you're so good, always, Lord. And your heart is to bless. Your heart is to restore. Your heart is to save. Your heart is to heal. Would you come now, Holy Spirit, by your power? Would you come by your power? Would you meet deepest needs hidden in hearts? I see a woman crying in private. You are not prone to emotion. But God wants you to know this morning that he sees your tears and that he knows your heartache. And he would say to you, dear one, that he is the one who binds up the brokenhearted. He is the one and the only one who can fill an emptiness that you feel in your heart.